Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Venezuela, there's no other way to describe it. It's a wreck. It's become a country of long lines and severe shortages of food, electricity, and basic necessities. Crime is spiking, and so is the inflation rate, now at 180%, the highest in the world. But I keep wondering, how did this happen? How does such an oil-rich country basically collapse on itself? So I turned to David Smildy in Caracas. He's with the Washington Office on Latin America, a human rights group.
This is the result of 10 years of economic mismanagement. When oil prices were high, the government spent money hand over fist, and worse yet, what they did is they maintained an overvalued exchange rate, and that meant that imports were very cheap. That really led to a long-term decline in local production. Now, oil revenues have dropped, and Venezuela has very little productive capacity, so it can't produce its own food, really, and it doesn't have enough money to import what it needs. And it also has a lot of debts. It actually accumulated debt during the years in which oil is high, so it has to pay these debts. And so it's faced with either defaulting or feeding its people. So far, what it's been doing is making sure to pay its foreign creditors, but it's really been reducing the number of dollars that are assigned to importing food and other basic goods. And so people are really suffering. There's a real contraction in consumption.
So the government, a socialist Marxist regime launched by Hugo Chavez, for some time it seemed to thrive, but now under Nicolas Maduro it's in crisis. When did the mismanagement of the country start, and under whose watch?
Nicolas Maduro inherited a set of policies from Hugo Chavez that were created during the good times. He's basically taken a model that was already unsustainable when he took office. He's ridden it for 3 years without change. He's riding it right off the cliff. You know, so things have just gotten to a completely atrocious economic situation.
So trying to sidestep the government's missteps, talking about food again, because that really seems to be an indicator of just how bad things are, these groups called bachaqueros, what does that word mean? Who are they and what do they do?
Bachaco is a carpenter ant which carries big loads on its back. And so bachaquero is the name that people give to people who, as their way of making a living, wait in lines and buy whatever goods they can and then sell them on the parallel markets. This is a situation that has actually, in a certain way, made the crisis tolerable over the past year and a half or so, in that allowed a lot of people that were underemployed or unemployed to make many times the minimum wage. And so I think that's what kind of kept a lid on the crisis. Mm-hmm. But it's actually quite an interesting policy. But the government sees this as sabotage, and so it's tried to clamp down on this bachaquerismo. And what it's done is instead it's promoted these things called the CLAPs, which are the Committees on Local Production and Supply, which bring bags of food directly to people.
So it's kind of the government's own version of the bachaqueros.
Yeah, but the difference is that they bring things. It's a way of trying to circumvent the informal market. The real problem is that there's just not enough food. It's not a distribution problem. It's a production problem. And so what these CLAPs have done is they've just taken a part of the merchandise off of the market from supermarkets, and they distribute it directly. And so that's caused a lot of discontent in the past 2 months among people that now wait in lines for 7-8 hours and oftentimes don't get anything. And that's what's led to a number of the lootings and protests that we've seen in the past several weeks.
Would you say the bachaqueros and the CLAPs are actually in some ways making the food crisis worse?
I think that most participatory systems this government puts in place, there's just a lack of control, there's a lack of transparency, they're ripe for corruption, for politicization, and they're just extremely inefficient. So I do think that the CLAPs are making the situation worse. The only thing that would really make the situation better is if the government changed its policies and you had more products coming in and more local production.
How has it been for you finding food?
I'm here doing research. I've traveled to the U.S. about once a month. And so I bring back suitcases full of everything from toilet paper to dish soap to laundry soap. So we don't wait in a whole lot of lines. And what we don't bring in, we can buy on the parallel market, which, after all, is often cheaper than the goods I bring from the United States. The problem is that there's a lot of people who are poor, whose salaries are completely behind. A salary for a university professor at the black market rate would be less than $50 a month. And so those are the people that are really suffering.
What's it feel like for you when you see, you know, your counterparts, academics, waiting in long food lines?
It's a terrible thing to see, and my heart really goes out to them. And it's one of the reasons that keeps me working on this issue. It's not just my colleagues that are here, but it's also extended family that is here. And so it's a really worrying situation. There's not a night that I don't think about this, you know, what's going to happen in the next 6 months, because things are really ugly right now, but they could get significantly worse.
David Smildy in Caracas. He's with the Washington Office on Latin America. He's also a professor at Tulane in New Orleans. David, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you for your interest.